Clash of Clans Podcast, OG, Episode 15. Nailed it.
I got that one. First time, man.
One. Yeah,
I did. Easy peasy.
Skilly beep 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 skilly beep. Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Scotty827, hanging out with my friend with a sinus infection and
co-host. Sinus issues. Co-host issues?
Co-host with, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. How are you doing on this beautiful day besides your...
My headache and all of that. So I felt really bad because I was supposed to wake up early this morning to make my wife breakfast. And about 6 o'clock, I woke up and I had a pounding headache. And she knew that I was going to get up. So she like popped up and I was like, I don't feel so good. She's like, lay down. You're good. You're good. And so instead, I feel bad. She went down the road to Biscuitville and grabbed some breakfast. And I actually ended up sleeping until 8 a.m. this morning, which is really, really late for me. So wow. do you have Biscuitville where you live?
No. Is that like Dollywood?
Really big biscuits, like massive size biscuits?
No, we don't really do like to find a biscuit would be kind of hard. Like even at a... Yeah. We're not the biscuit capital of the Midwest.
Well, here. I am in North Carolina, so this is, you know, southern.
All the weird cooking. Stuff happens.
Right, exactly. You know, Tip Dog 20's from there, so you know it's weird.
Yeah. Oh, you ain't seen nothing.
So weird. So weird.
We are back, and do you have more Mother's Day plans? I should ask. Or are you just gonna watch the wife do? All the stuff she would do as a mother every day, just to remind her.
I just want to watch
you be a mother all day long.
Because it's so impressive. Yeah. I'm going to be grilling steaks for her a little bit later. So I've agreed to do that.
Oh, very nice.
And then I today, since I'm not feeling well, it's just going to be a day of catching up on Lower Decks. I'm not sure if you've watched most recent season of Star Trek Lower Decks.
I haven't seen any of them yet.
They're hilarious.
Them.
Yeah. They're hilarious. They got like a touch of like Family Guy in them. Not quite that like dorky funny, but still, especially if you're a Trekkie, they reference a lot of stuff from the original series and Next Generation. It's just hilarious.
I'm going to have to check that out. There's a lot of TV I've been missing, or I kind of started, like, I don't think I've even got the last Mandalorian season finished. And then I feel a sense of like shame when I realize, oh my God, I didn't. I think it's like when you didn't have them to binge, you know, and you're waiting kind of.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do this afternoon is binge, probably. You know that one of the main characters in Lower Decks is the name of my base that's in House of L.
Oh, yeah. Which one's that?
Boimler. Yep. So Boimler's the cadet that's on Lower Decks. He's one of the main characters.
I don't know why, but I just kind of imagined it was like a Lord of the Rings character or something.
Oh, I guess it does kind of sound Lord of the Rings-ish. Yeah, like elfish almost.
Dwarf.
Dwarfish.
It sounded like a dwarfish name. And I knew it was your wife's account. And I thought, oh, she must be into like Lord of the Rings or fantasy or something. That's what I was. That's where my mind went.
No, before I named it, I changed the name to Boimler. It was actually Tips Girl beforehand.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, but I changed that because I couldn't go around prancing under myself as Tips Girl, right?
Well,
that would be a little weird.
You have dated yourself in the past.
Well, what I do in my private life is my own personal business.
Yeah, right. Yeah. One hand on Tips Girl, the other hand on... Oh. We're catching up. I told Tip
it hurts
this morning.
To laugh.
we are kind of doing an impromptu podcast this morning because Tip Dog's feeling under the weather, and so we thought we would do a little bit shorter episode this week and catch up on the longer episodes of the last 2 weeks because we just have been getting into it. And I told Tip as we were talking this morning via text, I feel like we just got off the air last week. Mm-hmm. I did a couple war attacks and farming raids and whatnot. And then we're back. Like, it's been like 2 seconds, but it's been a good week.
Yeah. You want to tell everybody how you three-starred the base? That was literally the last attack of CWL in the final closing minutes. Scotty versus this opponent, Town Hall 14. If he three-stars, we actually promote to Masters 3. And what does Scotty 827 do? He three-stars the base.
And it was, okay, first of all, let me just say this. I had no idea about any of that other stuff when I went into attack. Like, that if I got the, I mean, it was really busy, right? So, right. Like, I'm kind of just looking around. I really, like, looking at the war score, it's so hard to, like, even gauge it that I don't pay attention. So, like, it wasn't until just, like, a couple days ago that I realized that it was for, like, the win or whatever in the promotion.
Yep, your attack. And honestly, like, I had given up on promotion, which is the reason why, you know, I was throwing all those lower accounts in, because I wanted everybody to have a chance at getting as close to 8 stars as possible. And I didn't think we had a chance in hell, like a snowball's chance in hell of promoting, because the clan that was number one actually beat us already earlier in the week. And then they were like 20 stars, 30 stars ahead of us. So I was like, okay, well, we're not going to promote. So let's change out our focus, make sure that everybody can get at least 8 stars. And then voila, the last war, we just absolutely killed it. And Scotty 827 just brought us home with a beautiful 3-star.
That, okay. I was walking different after that attack.
Walking on air.
Yeah. Like, and it absolutely. So what happened? I was kind of experimenting, right? So this is the May 2024, right?
Mm-hmm. May.
Believe me, it's not weird for me to forget a month or a year. The CWL, House of L just got demoted last time. So we've been trying to figure out where we're going to land in CWL.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of resurrecting the clan, and they had been much higher. And so this was kind of that CWL where we're getting into it. We just had got demoted, and Tip has been helping me a ton on this podcast. And so this attack, what I was doing was doing the Flame Flinger, Super Bowler attack.
Mm-hmm.
I think I used that new troop too, the
the Barbarian Kicker, or the what it's called, like the Giant Thrower,
the Barbarian Kicker.
Okay.
I like that, just take mm-hmm. out one defense. But I've been experimenting with what to put in my Flame Flinger, and I put in the two dragons and a loon, and I just Super Bowled it really well. And mm-hmm.
really well.
And it like spun around clockwise and kind of all ended up. It just looked like I knew what I was doing. And I felt like in that attack, I knew I had a good handle on it. And I think that's what's been happening over the last few weeks, especially as we've kind of like nailed down into like the funnel.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, like the opening, even though we didn't talk about it too much, but just like the how fat, you know, I think right at the beginning, I'm thinking, you know, take more time on the opening, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after last week, I'm like, take more time on the opening, but not the opening moves.
Right.
Right. Like, get the shit in there and working. Don't like slowly put things down, you know, and with our pathing talk and the warden pull, I'm getting that opening funnel just like I got a handle on it.
Mm-hmm. Which we actually need to make a clarification on the warden pull, which we had discussed before. But I had stated on a previous podcast that the Warden Pool was 15 troop space. And while it is true that three loons will pull the Warden, it's evidently not necessarily just 15 troop space that pulls the Warden, which
the number
I'm surprised at. Like it was a bit confusing to me because three loons will pull the Warden, but an ice golem will not. And an ice golem is 15 troop space. And the Yeti was the most confusing of all. So a Yeti is 18 troop space, and the Yeti would not pull the Warden unless it attacked the building while it was next to the Warden's aura. So if you put the Yeti down and it walked to a building that was outside of the Warden's aura, then it would not pull the Warden. But if you put a Yeti down and it walked to a building that was inside the Warden's aura, then it would pull the Warden. So I don't know. I thought it was 15 troop space, but it's not.
I bet it's 15 and group.
Could. So, for instance, I tried two Valks, which is 16 troop space. Two Valks would not pull the Warden.
Yeah, I bet. I wonder if it like tips into like three. You know what I mean? Like, what if you put, I wouldn't be surprised if it followed three wizards. Or maybe it has to be full, maybe it has to be 15 troop space.
Plus two, 15 plus, so 15 with at least three troop. I'll do some testing on it.
Yeah, I'll do
that. Because I'm really curious now.
Because I've seen that, a little bit of weirdness with it too. Like the pull goes outside the aura.
Yep.
Like I dropped some troops or whatever and he moved over, but it wasn't within the aura. But I'll tell you what explains that kind of makes sense on that Warden pull and maybe why this week has been going better in particular. So what happened with what I've been running with the Super Bowlers, in addition, and I've just been doing this because you told me to, you know, clear to make sure bombs, right? Is I've been throwing a P.E.K.K.A. in there. And then I had a Yeti, you know, to help with the, whatever it is, the pole or whatever. But I switched out the other with the Yeti with another P.E.K.K.A. And so I'm running two P.E.K.K.A.s in there. And if I put a P.E.K.K.A. down, he's going to take out. I got a lot of guarantee on what he's going to be able to get.
Right.
With a super minion on him, like Peg Team City. So I'm wondering if because I've been using the P.E.K.K.A. instead of the Yeti, that I'm having much more success on that pull.
Could be.
Given that you just said that, like, with the attack, you know, once he starts attacking something, then, you know what I'm saying? Like the pull is, I'm not running into that Yeti issue, and that might explain some of the times that things just didn't go right.
Right. And the P.E.K.K.A. is 25 troop space as well, which is heavier than the Yeti. So that could have something to do with it as well. But I need to look at it, figure out, is it three troops as long as they total at least 15 troop space? Is that what it is? You know, like if I put down an ice golem and two barbarians, would that pull the Warden? Because it's three troops and it's more than 15 troop space. Like, I don't know.
That's a good point.
And it's confusing to me. And I've never even heard of anybody talking about this before. So I'm really interested in seeing like what works and what doesn't, because I always thought in the past that it was just a flat 15 troop space, but evidently it's not. And shout out to GCBC because he's the one who pointed it out in clan chat. And because I didn't realize that was the case, but just wanted to clarify.
I'm trying to think about what the pro, you know, the AI would be on it. It would be like if troop is 15, or maybe it's like 20 for like just a troop space. No, that couldn't be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We're gonna have to look at it.
Or maybe once the Yeti hits something, it fundamentally changes like in the computer where all of a sudden it's like a potential five or something.
Yeah. And that was weird too, because the Yeti, if it wasn't attacking a building, it wouldn't pull the Warden. Like if I put the Yeti down in the Warden's aura and it walked to a building that was, you know, 4 or 5 tiles outside of the warden's aura, the warden would not follow the Yeti and retarget to the building that the Yeti was targeting. But if I put down that Yeti and the building that they targeted on was, you know, either right on the edge of the aura or within the aura, then the warden would retarget and would start attacking the building that the Yeti was attacking. So it's very confusing, and I got to figure out the details on it. My nerd brain is excited now.
My one thought, and maybe this is, it didn't have anything to do with damage, did it? Because there's got to be a place in the, and this is just me nerd thinking, there's got to be a place in the AI where either it goes from a 1 to like a potential multiple, maybe that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like Yeti attacks, it takes damage, and then all of a sudden, like the computer changes what it is, like a potential. I don't know. I better stop talking about this.
No. I mean, and that's interesting too. Like, is the warden pulled by a certain amount of damage capability? So loons do however much damage, 500 damage per drop. I'm not exactly sure how it is. So is the warden pulled by 1500 damage total? I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking like if the Yeti takes damage, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All of a sudden,
he's taking damage.
Because the Yeti is really like however many troops. It is one troop and then it becomes a different troops. So I was just thinking like maybe it is something in the AI of like the Yeti itself where it's like, okay, it attacks the building, it takes damage, and then it becomes like the program itself changes to be like a new thing. Like, I don't know.
Because the Yeti mites are on the Yeti's back. And that's one thing that GCBC has said is maybe it's 20 troop space, but it's still activated by the 3 loons, which is 15 troop space. But your point with the damage is we talked earlier about how the Yeti mites are 3 troop space apiece. So maybe the moment that the Yeti gets hit by an archer tower, that's when the first Yeti mite starts like poking his head out of backpack.
Yeah.
And that's when the AI recognizes, oh, here comes 3 additional troop space incoming.
And then
3 puts it over 20 21, essentially. And that's when the warden is pulled. That could be the case as well.
You nailed exactly what I was thinking, but I was just thinking of like internal computer. But that poll, that'll be interesting to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that poll has changed the game for me, like completely, because I can drop that big troop. So that other P.E.K.K.A. what I'll use for is if I go in with a flame flinger, I'll clean one, a warden walk on the other side, and my king has been down, so I'll drop a P.E.K.K.A. in front of it, front of my heroes or whatever, or I'll save that P.E.K.K.A. on the backside to clean up. And wow, have I been doing work.
Yeah, you got to figure out what works for you, like what troop complement, clean up troops, you know, and you'll figure out what works. Like you won't necessarily come to the same conclusion that I come to with my attacks, because there's a specific way that I do things. Like you may find your way of getting, and if it works, man, I say 100% use it.
Yeah, I could totally see that, because I think there's some people who are really like, what's a melee attackers, like, and some people who like range attacking.
Right.
And I'm more of a range attacker. Like, so I could see it, like, I kind of mean this in terms of like, I'm thinking of like the king and the abilities, for example, like, cause I was re-listening and editing the podcast from the last episode, and I just couldn't help but think, like, with the new spiky ball, that for me, I like that kind of let me keep my heroes back and push out. Or there are people who in any game just like the up close and like jump right on you kind of thing, stab you with like a pencil or whatever in some games, you know.
Yep,
and then you've got like the people who like to snipe,
right?
And so I kind of, I'm not really a sniper. I'm more in the middle of those two, but that spiky ball too. Whew.
Yeah. I think it would work well with your style of attacking. Very similar to how you really like the fireball.
Yeah.
How it's range damage. And so, like, I think it could work really well. So I think you just got to play with it and see if it's something that worked for you.
So what do you think about this new, well, I guess I could kind of finish up. I don't know if we talked about everything, you know, you're thinking about with my attack from last week. I've been doing that attack constantly with a little bit of variation all week. Wrecking shit in the wild. Very without nice. A king, without yep. Now without a RC, and I'm still pulling like 80% damage.
Yeah, powerful.
And I got my unicorn.
Nice,
which little I Sebastian. Call my little Sebastian, my little mini horse. And I was just called. I don't know why. I'm always. He's kind of like hangs back there, doesn't he? He doesn't really.
Yep.
Very just quiet little away. Horse. But once I put. So I don't think during that CWL attack I had my mini horse, but I got it after, like in the last few days, and holy shit, is my queen like?
She lasts a lot longer.
A lot longer. That's yep. like.
Yep.
Here I was getting down on myself a little bit for being, you know, Town Hall 14 and, you know, trying to pull weight and. Everybody else is, I like, gotta get my hero up, gotta get my hero. Well, that pet was a big deal because mm-hmm. I've seen those other queens, like Max's queen isn't too much different than mine, you know, and I'm going, wow, look at that thing's just going. But it just never really fully got that thing. Wow. What a difference a week makes.
Yeah, a lot. Oh. And you're learning more about the game too. What things you can accomplish with your queen, with your troops. So you're going to things are slowly going to start coming to light and you're going to figure out, you know, how to enter, how to, you know, different aspects of funneling and all of that. And that just comes with time and experience.
Yeah, I think that this week, like I would say, I saw the possibility of being like really getting a good handle on it. Mm-hmm. And I think like in just looking back, and I was trying to think about this last night before we recorded. And, I think I was telling Maximus this, the things that I think have had made the biggest impact so far, Warden pull, huge, and Warden walk, like kind of mm-hmm. figuring that out. I had a whole list last night of things that, understanding that funnel. Oh man, damn it. I had the whole list. And now I get down and I sit down and, I have to say the last few episodes, especially, and I think cause like at first I'm like trying to get my head around like, hey, here's all this. And then over the last few episodes, just thinking about the things that we, have talked about, like the hero equipment, but then the funneling and then, just dialing into those specifics, like the, queen, well, any of the AI where it mm-hmm. looks the next three, right?
Right.
And being able to see that has been really beneficial. Just been very helpful. And I can see how getting a handle on that AI and that like right at the, like the opening, but just kind of focusing on the different pieces of the attack and getting, a much better handle on understanding why it's doing what it's doing. I can set those pieces in motion at the beginning with way more confidence and then react to the rest. So I can kind of see how it's going to, like, as I keep going, I'm going to be able to just tighten up and tighten up and tighten up and hopefully not walk around with peanut butter on my face so much anymore.
So one tip that I haven't mentioned in the past. So just something to consider.
Uh-oh. Am I sitting
down?
No.
So funny. So I'm not saying anything is wrong or right. Like I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you stop making me laugh. So you have to use what worked for you.
Okay.
But something to consider is if you use ground troops and air troops in the same attack, then you are triggering every trap that's on the base.
Yes. And so I have a very good answer for that.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
So here's why. I'm making a pretty deliberate effort. Well, no, it doesn't sound like that. I really like using the super minions. Mm-hmm. But they work really well. And then I've been putting the two dragons and the loon in the flame flinger.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get my queen, so the super bowlers go in and inevitably the queen and hopefully, I guess, they're in the middle. And then there's usually a fucking healer party lately where they're just fucking like, because I got the unicorn and then I've got five healers going in and then I got three on the queen and Sebastian, the little mini horse, it's like a fucking Victoria's Secret fashion show in the corner, in the center of the base. And then I vanish him out and then all those healers are left there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been happening I don't think in that war attack, but in a lot of attacks, is I recall the party, and then I throw the party outside, like the queen and the heroes behind wherever the flame flinger was, but back on the base.
Mm-hmm.
And so the healers exit instead of driving through stuff. And all the while, those like the dragons or all the air troops that I've sent out have been springing traps.
Okay.
So it's kind of a healer protection, but I'm getting way more out of it than any of the ground troops that I would have put in there.
Yeah. And I mean, and that makes sense as far as an argument as to why it might work.
So this one attack, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
I just did this one attack. I'm in the center of the base. The party's going off and all these skelly traps come out. Well, my queen's engaged, all this stuff. But meanwhile, on the other side of the base, my dragons have just popped out of the flame flinger and they started their own party. So I recall them behind the queen and whatever I can get behind the dragons. Those other healers start heading the hell over there. And then all those little skelly air things run into the dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't end up doing so hot.
No, not against dragons.
So, and then I let the dragons kind of tank. And so when I'm really in the most need of it, so far it's been working pretty well.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where it's like funneling, where ideally you want to use as few troops to get the job done that you're trying to get done. And I would think of protecting your healers in the same way, but you have to decide like what's best for you and your attacks. And your purpose of using the dragons to kind of clear out the way and make sure that those recalled healers don't get hit with black mines, like that's a legitimate concern. And I totally understand that. I just think keep playing with it. Like maybe one dragon plus loons may work, you know, one dragon. Two dragons may be best. I don't know.
I was trying hogs. And you're right. I should try the dragon combo. I just threw the two in there just in like this week because I was trying hogs. I was trying the electro. But usually that flame flinger stops right back where the trash buildings are left.
Yep.
And when I put it there, it seems like I'm just getting more. And it's like the cleanup troops are lasting and I can't find a cleanup troop that I really like that's gonna not run into so many wall problems. Like I know it's a trade-off with the traps, but also a lot of the traps have just been set off because I got my healers running through there. tearing it up and fucking like a Diddy party.
You should consider minors.
Minor underleveled, but you know what? That's a really good idea.
If you're looking for a cleanup troop,
I didn't even think about it. I didn't even occur to me.
Or something else to consider, and it's actually an excellent cleanup troop. A lot of people don't think of it as a cleanup troop, is a headhunter.
So, that's what I want to talk to you about because I saw him in your attacks.
Yeah. So if the enemy heroes are already down, then the headhunter just hits the closest building and headhunters go over walls. So it's actually a beautiful cleanup troop. And so sometimes I'll bring two headhunters in all of my root rider attacks. Sometimes if I can get down the heroes quick, like in the beginning with, you know, a raged king, they go down super quick, then I'll hold my headhunters and use them as cleanup troops later on. Now they're a bit expensive at 6 troop space, but that might be an option, you know, something to consider, something to think about at least.
Yeah. I saw that you were doing that and I was going to ask you about it. So are you sending them? Cause I see them in your request. Are you using the headhunters like to on the heroes or are you saving them just for cleanup?
No, so typically if I bring headhunters, it's because I'm not sure if the heroes will go down or not. So you're probably seeing that most with my Blizzard attack, which my last Blizzard attack completely failed and burned. But if I think that I'm going to get, you know, the Queen and the RC are the most dangerous to my Lalo portion of the attack, and if I'm not sure if I'm going to get one or both of them down, and maybe it's pretty deep in the base to where I can't get to it with my king and my queen, well, then what I'll do is I'll start the Lalo portion of my attack. And then once my loons and my lava hounds have been released, well, then I'll release two of the headhunters and then tome them with the Warden's Eternal Tome. And they will go straight after the RC or the queen, whichever one's left up. So it's kind of a strategy to get them down quickly so that they don't take a lot of my loons down.
I got to play with those. What do you think this week about the King's Spiky Ball?
I like it. So I like it a lot. I think for particular attacks, it's very OP. Like, it's amazing. I'm not so sure it's going to be that useful with smash attacks. So attacks where the king's going to be is funneled into the core of the base, like with root riders, for example, or if you're sending your king in with your super bowlers, for example, if the king's going to the center of the base, I still think that the rage vial and the giant gauntlet are going to be the most powerful combination. But if you are funneling with the king or sending him anywhere but the center of the base, I really think that the spiky ball will be extremely valuable. Very, very valuable.
I do like it in the center of the base, though. Because I get
some people do. Yeah.
Damn core. And then you've got all that shit behind the town hall, too. You know, I could see, I gotta try it with some quakes. That could do some work.
Or some people have commented on my videos and said that the spiky ball with the earthquake boots has been pretty good.
I was wondering about that.
And then I have said that the spiky ball paired with a vamp stash would be pretty good because of the added HP increase, which I did want to clarify. I made a mistake in one of my videos and said that the HP increase was an active ability, and it's not an active ability. It's a passive ability, meaning that the HP is added upon deployment at the very beginning of the attack. It doesn't add it during the middle of the attack. And for some reason, I misunderstood that and got it wrong in the video. But because he has higher HP, so with the spiky ball, the king gets extra HP. It's 3,000 something extra HP added to his life, to his health. But I made the mistake of thinking that was HP that was added whenever the ability was pressed. So whenever you press the spiky ball, his available life hit points goes up. But I was incorrect in that. It's not an active ability. It's passive, similar to how your DPS is passive. So if you have a piece of equipment that adds 200 DPS to a hero's attack, well, that 200 DPS is available to the hero at the beginning of the attack. And that's the same thing with the HP. That extra 3,000 something HP is available to the king at the beginning of the attack. It's not added later on during the middle of the raid whenever I press the ability.
You've heard it here first.
You're
that, has no. Fact correct. Fact checked himself.
And I had several people point that out to me whenever I put out the video, and I was like, oh crap, yeah, I'm wrong. Oh, it's like painful moment. It is.
Oh no, I mean, and especially like wherever we're at and talking about this stuff too, it's like when you listen back to old episodes, everything is different in anyways. So
yeah.
You know, we're trying to understand it and things are I was gonna like make mistakes. I mean, what did I say in the last one? Queen can walk through overgrowth walls.
Oh, right.
I think I fact checked myself during the episode.
Yeah, but. And I didn't know. Like I wasn't sure if that was the case or not, because I'd never been presented that information before.
What kind of seems like, as we're dialing into it here, as we're thinking about stuff, we're kind of discovering things as we're talking, like
figuring out details.
Yeah, figuring out details, or even more importantly, figuring out the questions.
Right.
What is it that we don't know about things to make things better?
I would never have known that it wasn't just a flat 15 troop space that pulled the warden. And I've never had to deal with that before because, for instance, as I said in an earlier episode, normally I use my queen or I use an E-Titan or I use a Super Bowler. Like I use one of those three troops to pull the warden. Oh. And I never pull the warden with anything less than that. So like, why would I have ever known to ask if it's only 15 troop space or what, you know, why is it only three loons, but it's not 15 troop space with other troops? I would have never known to ask that. So I'm excited to find out the answer as far as exactly what it is.
Three makes a party.
Could be the three number. If it's three troops and if it totals more than 15 troop space, that could be it, but I'm not sure. I'm not positive on that.
It's got to be an if then statement. If this and.
Well, it has to be because it's code, right? It's ones and zeros. So there has to be a specific rule that the AI has to follow. We just have to figure out what that rule is.
Yeah. And see, I've been pulling, and here's where I've been finding like the benefit of that pull, not just like, okay, you know, he'll go over here and I can, you know, steer him. But when I set him down, when I set that warden down with the healers on him and I start that warden walk, I don't care where he gets. Like this is the difference, I think, of the last couple times. Like I'm putting him down and I'm, instead of me going, I want to get him through X spot, right?
Right.
Now I go, here's what I want. You know, this would be good if he can get through all this. I just don't want him to go this way. And maybe he's not going to make it all the way to where I want to drop the bowlers. Right. Or this seems pretty wide. I've got a few questions like up in, you know, the air, like this could go this way. But I know that on a wide funnel, I have like two aura lengths, at least. I mean, but just to be safe, two aura lengths where I can pull him that far over.
Mm-hmm.
So like if things are going really bad, you know, or like it's, he didn't get through as much as I wanted to. But I really need my bowlers farther away from him to go in. Then I'll drop that Pekka or like the king, have him pull over and then drop my bowlers and he pulls over again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, the double pull, that is interesting.
Yeah, so I just have much more control by understanding that. Yep. And I'm going, okay, you know what? He's going to, like, I can get him over here right away if I want. Yo, warden, you know, look, yep. follow the trail where the party's going. So that's just been, it's been awesome, but something will change this week. And
we're always learning. I'm excited to always learn. Like, I'm far from an all knowledgeable player. Like I have a lot to learn myself and I'm very excited. You bring up stuff that I'm like, huh? Like I never even thought of it. that way. That's super interesting. I need to look into that. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I do a lot of things wrong, and I have to understand
so
why.
Do I.
they, so do I. Well, they do that. Well, so when you're saying that about the, let me just ask you this question. So you're saying that about the, my air setting off, you think maybe the miners, when you're looking at my tech, what would you just say? Like, here's what I would have brought in that, flame flinger.
So
I know you just give it to me, hit me with the hard time.
So typically if I'm, and this is, again, what you're doing is not necessarily wrong. You have to figure out what worked for you. And if you have a reason for it and it makes sense and it's working, then man, continue using it 100%. But for me, typically if I'm doing a ground attack, then, for instance, I won't bring, I'll bring wizards instead of super minions, just because the super minions will pull, air traps. And as long as the wizards are behind, you know, the funnel, the troops or whatever, then they're still going to get down the same thing that the minions would get down, but they're not at risk of getting hit with mines and bombs, because my other troops have already gone through that area. They've already tested that area for traps. So when, if you lead with a ground army and you put a super minion in down behind the ground army, there's potential that a black mine will go off and kill your super minion when that wouldn't happen with a wizard.
Yeah. I think too, what you're kind of saying is like, well, they're 12 troop space for a super minion. What, 4 for a wizard?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. And that's another good point, is it's so less troop space.
You know, goddamn wizards. Just, you know, I've never had good luck with those little things. You know, like they're always, they always just, I feel like they're going to be awesome. And then they just disappoint me. Or, and here maybe is where part of it is, with a better funnel now,
mm-hmm.
like with a better understanding, I could see how, they'd be really beneficial if I had better control.
Yep.
Of what was happening. So maybe now I should start playing with them. I like the super minion just because I can, it's a guaranteed, usually like just quick take out.
It's safe. Yeah, it's safe. And I get that. Like it's a safer, especially if you have a cannon on the ground, if that cannon retargets, it's like, there's no chance of the cannon retargeting on a super minion when there is a chance of the cannon retargeting on a wizard. So it's safer.
So and I get that. It doesn't get exposed to two different things.
Types of defenses.
One. Yeah.
And I get
that. So I guess that's a different way to look at it. Oh, no, not really. But
so inside the CC, I'll typically look at where I think the flame flinger is going to open. And if the flame flinger is going to open in an area where I want my cleanup troops to be able to get to, or my queen may be lagging behind and I want her to be able to go through, then I'll typically put in 2 root riders in my flame flinger. That way they go through the walls, they open it up. If I'm not sure where it's going to open up, then my standard CC troops for my flame flinger is going to be 2 Yetis, a Valk, and a Barb. That's just standard. Yeah. I don't know where it's going to open up at. Okay, let's throw this in just in case. If I know for a fact where it's going to open up at, and there's not a ton of splash damage around where it will open at, then I'll put a bacon box inside of it. And that's just all hogs. If, for example, it will open up on a section of defenses that are mostly point defenses, then I'll put all hogs in there. And that way I know that the hogs are going to go from archer tower to cannon to archer tower to cannon and take all of that down. When if I had the Yeti CC, that probably wouldn't happen, but you have to be more specific on whether or not to put hog in it, especially with like a Super Bowler attack, because if it opens up next to an Inferno Tower, for example, and then Inferno Tower is next to a Giant Bomb Tower, well, all of your hogs are bacon at that point, the moment that it opens up. So that was worthless, you know?
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to look at it, but those are the 3 different CCs that typically I will use with my Super Bowlers.
And that's where I think I'm figuring it out. Like, what's the most consistent? Like, what am I up against different bases? Because I was running the Hogs. I really liked that. But then, yeah, they could get taken out. I'm going to try those Miners, too.
Miners would work. If you're worried about walls, like you had said.
But I might try, like, a Dragon and the rest Miners.
That might work, too. Yeah.
And see what the heck happens. That way I'm kind of covering some bases. I really like that idea. Why didn't I think of that? Oh, I got a lot of troops upgrading. Town Hall 14. I think I'll be here for one more month. I want to get my spiky ball up. I have it to a level 11. And we started the event this week. That was another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The football event where we collect footballs. Mm-hmm. It has been raining hero equipment or and glowy ore.
Yep.
Have you made some progress on your hero equipment this week?
Yeah, so I've been focusing on the fireball. I think it's up to level 23 right now. And then once I just cleared out my glowy ore. Once I get another 600 glowy ore, then I'll be able to take it up to C24, 25, 26. I'll be able to get it to level 26. And then I'll have to save up another whatever for level 27.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't have anything that's the only over thing, level 13.
But that's the only thing that I'm focusing on. Like, I'm throwing everything into that. And I've been working on that for probably probably three weeks, I would say. Like, just on that piece of equipment.
So I think every time something comes out, I just get super excited. And I saw that once we talked about it. Well, and our episode came out a little bit late, right? Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, ooh.
Get too excited. Lose control.
It came out a little. So we didn't really know that it was going to drop this week, the spiky ball.
Right.
Right. And we were talking about it as like kind of, hey, this is what we saw. You had seen it, right?
And, it showed up in the first challenge, the player challenge. It showed up in there,
and then we got it, so we didn't really know. I think did you call it a spiky ball, or it was kind of?
I did call it a spiky ball because I think I'd seen that somewhere that it was called a spiky ball somewhere else, and so I think I was just taking that from memory, and that's why I called it that because I wasn't sure.
Hairy balls. Really?
Barbarian King throws his hairy ball.
Yeah, I couldn't resist the episode title last week, the King's Ball.
he likes to play with it.
His ball, his one ball.
His spiky.
I got that up to 11 just from, and I didn't see that we could buy the ability. So I had just upgraded something else to like a level 13, I think, or something. Otherwise, I think I would have him up to level 12 right now. But I put my king down. He's going to stay down with the yak for a little while. And my RC went down.
Until CWL?
I'm going to go hardcore on those heroes. And
yeah,
I got my warden up another level. I have another book, heroes to use. And what is your advice on that, by the way? So in that football rewards, and we've talked about this in the past with the other events, there seems like there's a lot more, rewards or like, medals or shit, whatever the football things.
Statues and stuff.
Football
boots.
Yeah, so we can buy more things. It seems like to me. Do you have a recommendation of what to buy with those? Because I bought the King's Ability for sure. I bought it. I bought two books of heroes. And I think I'm going to have some left. Is there anything that like, here's what you can buy with? You know, I think you watched a YouTube video the last time said you can buy all of these different things, and or have you planned what you're going to buy with all those?
So I just bought the spiky ball on my main, and I have not. I will probably be buying glowy ore, because glowy ore has been the holdup for all of my equipment. Like, I've been waiting to refill my glowy ore storage in order for me to be able to upgrade to the next level. So what I will probably continue doing anytime I, you know, recommend what additional, you know, dragon medals or golden boots or red envelopes or whatever it may be, is if you have extra, buy as much glowy ore as you can, because that's the bottleneck in most cases. Or starry ore, not as much starry ore. Yeah, I'm running into starry ore bottlenecks because I just finished. So the last thing that I finished was the giant gauntlet, which was an epic piece of equipment and uses a lot of starry ore. And then I immediately started focusing on the Warden's Fireball, which is another piece of epic equipment, which also uses a lot of starry ore. So for the first time since hero equipment's been introduced, I found myself needing starry ore, but I don't have enough of that. But I also don't have enough of glowy ore at the same time. So I'll just have to wait and see.
Only we had a master miner.
That would be awesome. Could just switch it over to the starry ore and start making what I needed.
There you go. God, wouldn't that be nice? So how many of your pieces are maxed out?
I have 10 pieces maxed out. So I have Rage Vial, Giant Gauntlet on King, Healer Puppet, and Viz Vial on Queen. Warden has the most pieces maxed out. So Eternal Tome, Life Gem, Rage Gem, and Healing Tome are all maxed out.
Wow.
And then on my RC, the Hog Pocket and the Royal Gem is maxed out. And then I should have my Warden's Fireball maxed out here in probably be a couple more weeks, probably 2 weeks. It'll probably be maxed out, I would say.
Nice. I'm more and more firm in my, well, and it's just accidentally.
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades.
Yep.
On,
yeah.
Only because, like I said, like I get really excited about it in like the fireball event happened. And then I got it up to like level 11, 12 right away. And then something else came out. And then I, you know, did that one. And so they're just, and then as I find them, like I've been slowly, like if I've got a little bit left over, I'll do like the earthquake boots. So that's like up to like 6. Like even the ones I'm not using, I'm trying to do a little bit here and there. Just so I can trade in and out. But it seems like, cause I'm in Titan 1, got to really watch that, that ceiling for legends, kicking ass with that attack without the heroes even, I'm getting more rewards, right? Like daily rewards is based on where you're at in trophy.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Well, I know we should probably wrap up here pretty quick, huh? Save your voice.
It's starting to go.
Okay. I do have to just say I had a brilliant idea for Supercell. Well, I don't know if it's brilliant because I'd probably hate it. The future of walls is what Maximus and I were talking about last night. And I thought, wouldn't it be great? Oh, that's the wrong word. Wouldn't it be something
interesting
if, like with Town Hall 17 or as they get up there, the walls, that they grow back? That like once a wall is destroyed after like 30 seconds, it reappears with lower health, but then for the rest of the match, it strengthens.
That would be interesting.
Because then all of a sudden, like your back end attacks, you know, like that, the cleanup and everything, all of a sudden it becomes more difficult. Because,
yeah.
I don't know, something to think about for next time.
That would be interesting. I like the idea, though.
It could be like nano wood. It's like this cyborg walls. There we go. Anything else you want to talk about this week? I know your voice is going. I think we got to the things that.
Yep. No, we got to everything that I was wanting. So thank you for being flexible. Like I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, this is. I hope you're feeling better.
Hopefully, talking to you has actually made me feel better. So thank you.
Oh, me too. And thank you for all your help and everybody in the clan.
Yep, everybody in the clan has been awesome.
You can tell this episode too. There's like so many things I want to just talk to you about, and I'm like, we'll wait for next time. Because what I want to talk about next time too, you know, we've looked at these pieces of like the warden pull, the things that I was talking about before, but I think I want to dial a little bit more on the queen. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think we've kind of talked about those other pieces, but now working the queen into to the equation a little bit more specifically, because she's kind of usually on the wild for me. So any shout outs?
Shout out everybody in the clan for being amazing. Shout out you for moving the time back so that way I could have this evening off. So thank you.
Oh, I hope you enjoy it with your wife. It's a beautiful day here.
Beautiful day here.
I want to shout out House of L. Way to, it's, things are happening in the House of L. We got a lot of people have come in, and we're it's really exciting. CWL was awesome. It was really fun. I felt like I was starting to get the hang of things, and everybody worked really well together. Thank you. A big shout out to you for all your work you did in moving pieces around. I know everybody appreciated it because everybody got stars, and I didn't mess anything up.
And we promoted. Like, I'm glad. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And it was just really exciting, and it's amazing how encouraging everybody is. You know, nobody's getting down on people for, anything. So I'm just pulling up the clan, tag again right here. But of course the clan tag hashtag SUCKIT. No, wait, that's the old one. That's right. Hashtag 909 VUGYV, or it's hashtag 909 VUGYV. There's got to be like a song in that or something. 909 VUGYV. I don't know. We'll figure it out for next time. Shout out to everybody, all the listeners, podcast listeners. I finally have a lot more time, and things are going to all be put back up on the website, and including some of those extra things and Tip Dog song.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. Yeah. The long lost song that nobody's heard.
Yeah. And I'll put those up. I'll be doing some stuff on the website. So it'll be easier to find too. So,
I'm excited to hear it. I know. It's been 10 years since I've listened to it.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's just nuts. Well, and shout out to Supercell this week. There have been some major solar storms, and I didn't have any downtime in my clash this week. So, all right. Well, until next time, get a hold of us at clashofclanspodcast@gmail.com or clashofclanspodcast.com, where you can find all the episodes. As we get into the newer episodes, if you're listening on a podcast app like iTunes, the feed cuts off after a while. So you'll either have to, I don't know, go to the website or find the feed and get the actual feed. So I just want to, if you're looking for the older episodes and you're on iTunes and they're not there, that's where they'll be. So keep it clashy, everybody.
Keep it clashy.
Skilly beep 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 skilly beep.